DeBora Heart and Lung Center presents and sponsors today Dr. Cynthia Koss, cardiologist, special interest in heart failure, and we're going to be talking about advanced heart failure as the topic today. So the perfect guest and a very important topic. Dr. Cynthia Koss is a cardiologist who specializes in heart failure. She earned her medical degree at the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. After medical school, Dr. Koss completed a residency in internal medicine at Larkin Community Hospital in Miami, Florida. Dr. Koss went on to complete fellowships in cardiology and advanced heart failure and transplant cardiology at DeBora Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills, New Jersey. Dr. Koss's special interests include advanced heart failure and cardiogenic shock. She has participated in clinical research studies and authored articles in peer-reviewed medical journals. And Dr. Koss is board certified in internal medicine. We've done this before, Dr. Koss. We know each other, and we had a great time the last time we were together. Welcome to your program. Good morning.
Thank you. Welcome to, you know, a conversation about heart failure. I'm excited to talk about it today.
And we are to receive the important information that you will impart, so I will not be charged guilty with burying the lead. What is heart failure?
Sure. So, you know, heart failure is a major impact on our healthcare system. To simplify it, it basically means that the heart, which is a pump, it fails to pump oxygenated blood from to our vital organs. So the way the blood flows is, if you think about a blood cell that's in your toe and it drops off oxygen down to your foot, you need to get that blood back up into your heart, into the lungs to grab oxygen again. And then the heart pumps and it gets that oxygen back down to the toe. And it just repeats that cycle over and over again. So the pump itself, when we talk about heart failure, the pump itself is actually failing. And it's either failing to squeeze or it's failing to open. So the heart itself is a muscle, just like a bicep. So one of those two things is failing, and that can become, you know, catastrophic to the rest of the body's vital function. And then in general, you know, you talk about the impact of heart failure. When we speak with patients, a lot of times they'll come into my office and they say, oh, I have heart failure, or I've been told I have heart failure. And I said, okay, what does that mean to you? And they say, oh, I take some water pills here and there. But what really, as a whole, and I'm glad your listeners are taking the time to hear about today, this is a very serious condition. Sometimes when I explain it to patients, I say it's the cancer of cardiology. It
Wow.
is very, very progressive. It's highly, high mortality rates and extremely costly on our healthcare system. We're talking of over $30 billion of healthcare services, medications, missed days of work. Now there are even Medicare and other organizations are keeping track of how many hospital admissions are attributed to heart failure alone. So one in five of our admissions to a hospital nowadays, particularly in those folks that are older than the age of 65, are due to heart failure. And that is because we as a population are getting older and we're surviving things that, you know, used to kind of lead to mortality, but now we're surviving those things, and now we're ending up with heart failure, you know, as a diagnosis. So it's just a very, very important thing to be aware of, to catch early, and if you suspect you have it, you know, ultimately to get referred to a heart failure center.
You are listening to Dr. Cynthia Koss. The topic is advanced heart failure, presented today, of course, by DeBora Heart and Lung Center. To schedule an appointment, simple to do, 609-621-2080. You can call, and you will see right on the home screen, the hyperlink is impossible to miss. You'll see it. There's a speed button tab, a link to take you right to scheduling, 609-621-2080, or you can do so digitally, any digital device, at demanddebora.com. Dr. Koss, what are the risk factors for heart failure?
So we kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier. So really just aging itself. So all of us, as like I said before, all of us as we progress and get older, that can be a risk factor for heart failure. Just any organ can fail as we get older, unfortunately. But more specifically, those folks that have had a history of coronary artery disease, and particularly those people that have had a heart attack or myocardial infarction is the technical term for it. Those are people that are at higher risk of developing that weakness of the muscle and eventually the symptoms that that relate to this. And then, of course, any risk factors that lead to coronary disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, obesity, a family history of coronary disease. And then, of course, we're realizing in research that diabetes, of course, is becoming a very important risk factor for heart failure in and of itself. Not only as it leads to coronary disease, but it can lead to heart failure. And then if you have other structural problems like a valvular problem, so there's an aortic valve, that's the last gateway of the blood to leave the heart, that can tend to get stiff over time as we all get older. And if that gets stiff, that means that the blood actually has a hard time leaving the heart. So that can impart more strain on the ventricle, which is that left ventricle is a big pumping chamber of the heart. So if there's more strain on that chamber, it can lead to failure over time. And then we're also realizing that obesity is another risk factor, which we're being more and more, you know, familiar with and trying to conquer as a society. So those are pretty much the big ones. And then there's some other less prevalent risk factors, such as heart rhythm problems, where the heart can be, you know, too fast, and just like anything, if you use it too much, it can wear out over time. There are some genetic cardiomyopathies, which stands for basically a heart muscle problem. That's what cardiomyopathy means. And that can be either inherited or you could also have something just happen over time, something called amyloidosis that we look for. We also look for inflammatory processes that we learned during the COVID era, myocarditis, pericarditis. And then even more rarely, folks that you postpartum cardiomyopathy is a phenomenon that can happen after pregnancy. People that have connective tissue diseases such as scleroderma can end up with heart failure. And then things that we do to ourselves, like alcohol consumption. Alcohol itself is a toxin to the heart tissue. So people that, you know, have abused alcohol over time can end up with heart failure as they get older. And then, unfortunately, people that have been treated for cancer, so chemotherapy drugs, radiation, those can put a lot of stress on the heart, and then we could end up seeing those folks later to treat for heart failure. So, and sometimes we don't even know how people develop or why people develop heart failure, but we certainly want to make sure we treat them as aggressively as we can.
The topic this half hour. Oh, go ahead, Dr. Koss. Sorry. Go ahead. Please continue.
I was just going to say, hopefully that shed some light on some of those risk factors that can lead to this overall condition.
It was an incredible comprehensive answer. It certainly did. We are visiting with Dr. Cynthia Koss. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is presenting this discussion about advanced heart failure. So we know what it is. We know now a ton about the various risk factors for heart failure. What are the signs and symptoms of heart failure that a person would actually experience?
Oh, so great question. So when we ask people about symptoms, we say, you know, first of all, you know, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And one of the biggest red flag symptoms we find is a decrease in what we call functional capacity. So in other words, put it simply, you know, what were you doing a year ago that you can't do today? Something as simple as, hey, I used to be able to walk around a grocery store without a cart, without taking breaks, and now all of a sudden I can't get through the produce section without taking a break, or I need a cart to help me get through because I get very short of breath. So any change in your ability to really do your activities of daily living, folding laundry, you know, just moving around, people get short of breath, people get tired easily. Also, they might notice some weight gain that they can't explain. Where did all this weight come? And I'm not talking about, you know, hey, we had a holiday weekend and we just binged on a bunch of, you know, hot dogs and hamburgers. I'm saying a quick weight gain where all of a sudden now you're starting to notice bloating in your abdomen, you're noticing your legs are swelling up to your thighs, things like that, or even an inability to lay flat at night. You're not getting good sleep because now why am I needing three pillows instead of no pillows? Why am I now sleeping in a recliner to breathe? These are some, you know, concerns that we have. These are some symptoms of heart failure, an acute heart failure situation, and should be checked out by a physician.
Sidebar before our first break. Is heart failure a permanent condition, or is it something that a person could emerge from?
So, great question. It actually depends. So we have some conditions where, for example, if somebody comes in with an acute heart attack, and their heart is stunned. The muscle is stunned because it hasn't received enough blood flow for a certain amount of time. And you seek quick, fast emergency treatment where they go in, they open up the blockage, perhaps with a stent, and the blood flow is restored to the muscle. There is a very good chance that that heart failure can recover, and that does not have to be a permanent condition.
Wow.
As opposed to another situation where somebody might not realize that they've had a heart attack in the past and their tissue has scarred down and now their muscle, there is no way that we can recover that muscle. That's more of a chronic heart failure condition that we have to treat over time and hopefully slow down the progression.
So in other words, it's so important that people be attuned to their body and to what's going on, because early, like a lot of things we talk about in life, early detection is really important, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. This is really such an important, you're putting a clinic on, so important. Dr. Cynthia Koss continues, and I wrote something down on my day timer because I don't want to ever forget it. I never heard someone say it so well before, and it really caught my attention early in the program with Dr. Koss when you said, Dr. Koss, that heart failure is the cancer of cardiology. Quote, unquote. I wrote that down. To schedule an appointment with Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can call 609-621-2080. I'll repeat, 609-621-2080. We always tell you, don't suffer in silence. You know your body. If you're feeling something, you know, we hear people say, well, I'm getting older. You know, getting older is not analogous to these things that you are hearing from Dr. Koss. These are things you have to pay very, very serious attention to. So make the call, schedule the appointment. You can do so digitally as well at demanddeborah.org. We'll be back with Dr. Cynthia Koss, who is talking this half hour about advanced heart failure. Our next topic when we come back are, what are the stages of heart failure? You know, you hear about different situations where there are stages. We're going to ask the good doctor, are there stages to this, and what are they? We'll be back in just a few minutes. Thank you. Welcome back. 24 minutes past the hour with Dr. Cynthia Koss, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And Deborah Heart and Lung Center is presenting this half hour a very important discussion about advanced heart failure. When we left you, we said that we would come back and talk about, are there stages of heart failure, Dr. Koss? And if so, what are they?
Yeah, so, you know, before the break, we kind of had that analogy to cancer. And I feel that, you know, some people, when you go and hear a physician say, okay, you have cancer, there's a gut punch there. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely are like, whoa. When people say, oh, I have heart failure, it doesn't, you know, it should kind of resonate the same way. And I just don't know if we as a medical community kind of emphasize that enough. There are different stages. So to break it down, there are four stages, A, B, C, and D. So to keep it simple, I tell patients stage A are those people that are at risk for heart failure. So there's no structural problem with the heart. We look at the heart, you know, perhaps under that ultrasound called an echocardiogram. No problem with the heart itself. Looks good, functioning well. People aren't hospitalized for heart issues. However, they have those risk factors that we talked about before the break, like coronary artery disease or diabetes or obesity or they're smoking, et cetera. So those would be stage A. As opposed to that, there's stage D. So that's the other end of the spectrum. So those are the people that are at end stage disease. Those are the people, I say stage D is disabled. You you can't do much. You're short of breath even just sitting down. You're short of breath doing anything. And it's deadly. You're close to dying because the heart itself is not functioning enough.
Wow.
And so that's kind of the polar opposites of the spectrum. And then we have, of course, stage B and C in between. Stage C is when people start experiencing symptoms. They either in the past or present, they're hospitalized. They start having an impact on what they're doing with heart failure, in addition to having a structural change in their heart. And so that's where things start to really start to change for people, because they really start having an impact. But stage D is the dire end of the spectrum, unfortunately.
Wow. That was very important, that breakdown. Dr. Koss, a guest listener, has written into the program. His name is Bob, great guest listener. Could you ask Dr. Koss if a calcium scan is a worthwhile tool? He went on to say, my brother-in-law's was 800, 50% blockage. He had a bypass yesterday. That's the question from our listener. Your thoughts, Dr. Koss?
Yeah, so we utilize calcium scores hopefully early on to help people understand what calcium is currently present within their coronary arteries. So when we talk about the coronary arteries, those are the blood vessels that feed the heart muscle itself. And so we need blood flow to the muscle itself in order for the heart to work. Otherwise, we end up with heart failure. So if there is calcium within those blood vessels itself, the flow of oxygen to the heart muscle can be impeded. And if it gets above a certain percentage where the flow is actually blocked, and usually we tend to say 70% or above, that's when we start talking about putting stents in or bypassing people. A calcium score is a very easy, non-invasive tool for everybody to understand how much calcium right now is in their heart, where is it, what are your risks for developing a heart attack, how aggressive do you want to be with statin medications, which are those cholesterol medications we talk about. That, in addition to the blood tests that we all get to look for our cholesterol levels, you can make a good decision with your physician about how aggressive you want to be with those cholesterol medications and other risk factors that can lead to worsening coronary disease. So hopefully that explained that to the patient. There's no contrast involved. There is no risk to the kidney when we talk about CT scans. So it's pretty easy, quick and easy, and with a lot of information for the patient.
Visiting with Dr. Cynthia Koss, cardiologist, DeBora Heart and Lung Center. DeBora Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Koss in today's discussion about heart failure and also advanced heart failure. Two different discussions. So we're going to go now to exactly what is advanced heart failure. I know that in my first question 20 minutes ago or so, we talked about what is heart failure. What is advanced heart failure?
Yeah, so this is a really great question, because when people have heart failure, you know, cardiologists and general cardiologists do treat heart failure. And when we just went over those stages of heart failure, stages A and B and sometimes C are treated by general cardiologists. But once people are hospitalized with heart failure symptoms, once it's really starting to impact their physiology and they end up with a hospitalization, their ejection fraction, which is one of the functions of the heart, is very low. These are when we start talking about advanced heart failure, and where a referral to a specialist in advanced heart failure is recommended. So somebody that has advanced heart failure is in that stage D part of the spectrum, where you have persistent symptoms despite the fact that you're trying your best to take the oral medications that are recommended in heart failure. Maybe you have a defibrillator that's put in. Maybe you have a special defibrillator that also recruits the right side of the heart to squeeze with the left side of the heart. We call that a cardiac resynchronization therapy. Despite our best efforts with oral medicines and device therapies, if you're still suffering from symptoms of heart failure and you can't overcome what's occurring with your heart, that is when we consider you having advanced heart failure, especially if your functional status, which we talked about earlier, you can no longer do things that you did before, is severely impacted. And then we have some objective measurements as well, but that in general hopefully answers the question about what is the difference between somebody that has heart failure and somebody that has the advanced version of heart failure.
So it is significant. I mean, this is not just words. You know, you throw, oh my God, you threw the word advanced in. This is significant, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely a different specialty, right? That's why there's advanced training in this particular part of the spectrum. And that's why, like, for example, if you do end up needing advanced therapies, because that's what we're talking about, which we'll get into, is, you know, IV medications, transplant, heart pumps, things like that. That's what we manage once somebody has progressed, because it's a one-way street, unfortunately, from stage A to stage D.
And as we talk about advanced heart failure, as I introduced Dr. Koss in the quick little mini bio that I did, I mentioned that as a cardiologist, Dr. Cynthia Koss has a special interest in advanced heart failure, which is exactly what we're talking about now in this portion of your program. So we now know what it is. You know, now talk about how it is treated, advanced heart failure.
Yeah, so unfortunately, once we come to the very end of the road in terms of progression of heart failure, there aren't many options available. One of the options with a failing heart is to take it out and replace it with a new one. That's transplant. There's also not doing anything, trying our best to use IV medications. There are IV medications that can help the heart pump as best as it can for some time, but they don't last forever. They're not curative. And in between, there is something called a left ventricular assist device, and that's a heart pump. And that can also help somebody live longer with heart failure outside of transplant. It turns out that not everybody is a candidate for heart transplant. So there is, fortunately, device therapy out there now that we can provide somebody if they don't meet that criteria for transplant. And that's what an LVAD, a left ventricular assist device, does. It helps somebody live longer, gives them a better quality of life if they're not a transplant candidate.
2-minute drill with Dr. Koss. Dr. Koss, what physical symptoms, what changes in symptoms should be monitored for people with advanced heart failure?
Yeah, so anything in terms of, like we talked about before, we want to keep track of somebody's ability to do their activities of daily living. We do some testing called 6-minute walk test. So we actually have a patient walk around cones for 6 minutes. We see how far they can go, what their oxygen requirements are. And over time, as heart failure progresses, unfortunately, they're able to do less and less and less. And that gets us an idea of how aggressive we need to be with treatment. There's also some other stress tests that we do. One's called a cardiopulmonary stress test. When someone says they're short of breath, well, is that from the lungs? Is that from the heart? Is that because you're deconditioned? That particular test helps us understand what is causing the shortness of breath. And if it is from the heart, how bad is it? Are you now a transplant candidate? Do we need to now consider a heart pump in those patients? So those are some of the things that we can look for. Patients that can't seem to keep the volume off, they need more and more diuretics. They need increased oxygen requirements. They're going from 2 liters of oxygen at home. Now all of a sudden they need 6 in order to not be short of breath. These are things that we look for in people as possible signs that their heart failure is progressing.
Finally,
and also hospitalizations.
Go ahead. Please continue.
And also hospitalization. So if the symptoms get so, so bad that a patient stops what they're doing and they go to a hospital, and you know some folks don't even want to go to a doctor, let alone a hospital.
True.
If it gets so, so bad that they end up going to a hospital, that's a big sign that heart failure is progressing as well.
To schedule an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can call 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, or digitally, any digital device, a smartphone, right up to a desktop computer. Just go to demanddeborah.org, demanddeborah.org. Dr. Koss, let me give you a little wild card question at the end, a closing comment of your choosing relative to heart failure and advanced heart failure.
So, you know, I just wanted to thank you so much for the opportunity to at least address this very important issue. I think at the most important thing we can impart on folks is to pay attention. Like you said before, we have a long life to live. If there's something that's just not quite right, go get it checked out. Don't be afraid. We have therapies now that don't necessarily mean that you need invasive therapies, but if it can prevent something from progressing, that would be the best thing, right? And we treat people any age. People in their 60s are young in our practice. You know, there's no reason not to get treated and not to think that you can't live a full and functional life. Yes, you might have to take a few extra pills, but if that means you get to go to a wedding or walk up and down a boardwalk or, you know, go on vacation, it's totally worth it for a lot of people.
Dr. Koss, thank you. You've helped so many people today. I just know it, and I appreciate you, and I always look forward to doing the program with you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Take good care.